entities, the media, if there are people from the public, I also say good morning to them, and I welcome them. I welcome everybody to the meeting of today. We have set up this meeting as this committee of public enterprises as per our resolution that we took on the 23rd of May as a committee, that we will look, we will open an inquiry on issues of Eskom after we have got or we have received information in that meeting of the 23rd of May. We then see it befitting that we must have this meeting. We must set an inquiry on Eskom. This meeting of today is sitting in preparing for the inquiry. We are not starting an inquiry today. As per the Act of Parliament or of National Assembly, the Portfolio Committee maintains an oversight, must maintain an oversight of inter alia any other body or institution in respect of which oversight is assigned to. Rule 227 of the National Assembly subsection 1C further stated that a portfolio committee may inter alia monitor, investigate, inquire into and make recommendations concerning any executive organ of state falling within its mandate, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of such organ of state. In this regard, the rules empower the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises to initiate an inquiry into Eskom. That is why we have taken that initiative. We took the initiative according to the Constitution and also according to the rules of the National Assembly. Then, therefore, the purpose of this meeting is to establish the scope or terms of reference of the inquiry, to determine the material evidence that need to be requested for the inquiry, to determine the form of process to be inquired, to the inquiry, to determine the potential witnesses that will need to be invited to give evidence in the committee, not as persons. The evidence will not be given as to us as individuals. It will be given in the committee. Those are the purposes and those are the rules and the constitutional mandate that we have as this committee. Today, we will be looking at the terms of reference. Members, I think in front of you, there is a document that has got terms of reference that we ask our staff to look at documents and to look at what can be the terms of reference. We are going to discuss the terms of reference today. On our agenda, that was my opening and welcoming remark. On our agenda, our item number 2 is the apologies. Any apologies from anyone?
Okay, the apologies we've received is from Mr. Kwankwa and Dr. Luyenge, who is not well today. And obviously the minister and the deputy minister won't be able to join us for the proceedings of today.
Thank you, Honorable Mazon.
Chairperson, thanks very much. Honorable Murray is in the building. He's just had to take an urgent telephone call, but he'll be here within the next 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. Those are our apologies. They are those of the members that are not here, like Honorable Pravin Gordhan is not with us. He has left the country for a few days. He has sent his apology. Do we accept the apologies? Can you quickly do that? No hands, nobody's accepting the apologies. Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Mazone accepted the apology, and Honorable Teddy has seconded. But Teddy raised his hand before you. I know he is a little bit stuck.
Chair, on a point of procedure, just in terms of going forward, could we perhaps request from the Chair that once we've agreed upon the dates of our inquiry and the hearings, that we make sure that a full list is sent to the Minister and the Deputy Minister's office, because I think it's essential that during this inquiry period that the Minister and the Deputy Minister know that it's happening and try and make themselves available for that period. So as soon as we know what the dates are, that we send it to their office so that we don't have to keep accepting apologies from the Minister and the Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mazone, but the Office of the Minister will be informed and the Office of the Deputy Minister. We will keep them informed of everything that is happening. And we will keep them informed that we would need them in one session, in all the sessions. Then they will see how their program is. Thank you very much. Comrades, honorable members, as I have said before, that the purpose of the meeting is only to establish the scope or terms of reference of our inquiry. We have all agreed unanimously, regardless of our political affiliations, that we are going to carry on with the inquiry of ESCOM. I just want to bring to your attention that in between the 23rd of May and up to the 21st of June today, which is today, there are things that happened in between that we were not aware that they will happen. We did not anticipate them to happen, but they did happen. For example, the first thing that happened, the reappointment of Mr. Molefe has been rescinded. The chairperson of the board has left the board. The board is going to be established next, I think on Friday, this coming Friday also. So there are those things that are happening within the period of our inquiry that we'll need to take to consideration. But that does not stop us as a committee to do our job and to look at our mandate as I have explained in my introduction. We are going to carry on with the inquiry. So our third point of the, Mr. Singh, Honorable Singh, I see your hand is up. I am not sure if, what is?
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think you said the first item would be to discuss the terms of reference,
yes,
which has been tabled.
Yes.
But before we even go there, there's a point in limine that I would like to raise before we actually get down to the terms of reference, which is going to be important for the successful outcome of whatever we want to achieve. Are we at that point there now?
Can I raise a point? Are we there now?
I'm looking.
I thought you were still
agenda
in your opening remarks.
No, I am at number two. I've done number two, the apologies. No, I'm going to number three, which is the discussion and preparation for the inquiry.
Oh, I thought you were supposed to introduce us to that.
Oh, you want to be introduced? All right, I will do the introduction then, and everybody else will quickly introduce him or herself who is inside the room. My name is Zukiswa Ranto. I'm the acting chairperson of Public Enterprises Committee.
Okay. My name is Moss Seli. I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
No, thank you, Chair. My name is Mondli Kungubele. member of the portfolio committee. All I was saying, Chair, was that the member was very fast in dealing with the item before you introduced us to the item. Anyway, I've introduced myself. Thank you.
Naren Singh, member of the committee.
Natasha Mazzoni, member of the committee.
Gavin Obanda, member of the committee.
I think we're going from this side. Eric Marais, member of this committee.
Amfuzo Zenzile, PLO to the Deputy Minister.
Justin Dielendi, the PLO to the Minister.
Makhala Mvunela, Eskom.
I know that we are meant to speak quietly, but please can you raise your voices so that everybody knows who you are, and so that I also know who you are.
I'm not seeing Eskom.
Good morning, Chair Chose, Chair Eskom.
Good morning, Llewellyn Prince of NatWest here in Twin Cities.
Thomas Davis of ENCA.
Morning, I'm Dennis. I'm with the New Age.
Morning, Lama Maja, SABC.
Yeah, Lama Report newspaper.
Legal paper, Fin 24.
Salam Zumela, staff member.
Yes, good morning. Marco Schmidt from German Consulate General.
Siyabonga Mkhwanazi, independent newspapers.
Good morning, Honourable Chair General Smith, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Schmuck Christen, Democratic Alliance.
Mr. Sumdu, ANC.
Let's keep it ENCA.
Bianca Capitore, Times Media.
Rahima, EWN.
Manelisi Tukwasa, SABC.
Basitana Pola, ANN7. Basitana Pola from ANN7.
Thank you very much. We know now who is inside here. We will go to the item 3, discussion and preparation for the inquiry. But Honorable Singh have raised something that I think we need to put our attention in so that we see if it is possible for us to give him that space.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, it's related to the committee. I think you would recall, I did report to this committee that on the 12th of May, the IFP wrote to the Office of the Speaker tabling a resolution, which was an ad hoc, to appoint an ad hoc committee into what was going wrong at Eskom. It was tabled, yeah. It was, the committee was informed. You are aware, I see you know. I think Honorable Ngubele is a bit, I don't know if he woke up yet, so is what happened, but it was here. But following on that, there's been correspondence between the Office of the Speaker and myself where they amended that particular resolution to exclude reference to Mr. Brian Molefe because they feel it doesn't fall within the purview of Parliament to deal with him. What falls within the purview of Parliament and oversight is what happens in Eskom. We don't appoint Mr. Molefe. But having said that, there is a resolution that is ready, prepared, amended by the Office of the Speaker for tabling in the House. But having said that, Chairperson, I fully support, or the IFP fully supports an inquiry, this inquiry, if it can do the job that an ad hoc committee would do. But having said that, I think it's important before we look at terms of reference to see whether or not we have the necessary tools as a committee to complete this task effectively and efficiently. And to that end, I've got a document which I will circulate, but the tools would be adequate researchers, legal advisors, forensic auditors.
Can I raise a point of order? I'm raising a point of order. If she's raising a point of order, I concede. If she didn't say point of order, but I concede if she so said.
Chair, I must just interrupt quickly because as we speak, Chair, a concurrent meeting is happening in the Chief Whip's Forum where the very motion that Honourable Singh is talking about is being discussed in the Chief Whip's Forum, together also with a request for an ad hoc committee to investigate state capture. And the Chief Whips are currently sitting to try and reach agreement as to how an ad hoc committee is established. So I think it's incorrect to lead this committee to believe that Honourable Singh's request has been accepted. I was certainly in the Chief Whip's Forum last week when it was discussed, his request for an ad hoc committee on ESCOM. It wasn't accepted. That's why the Chief Whips are meeting today, where they are going to try and discuss whether there's an ad hoc committee on state capture, et cetera, et cetera. But, Chairperson, certainly this committee was given the full go-ahead to operate and to put together the terms of reference for a full parliamentary inquiry into ESCOM.
The order is sustained, is that? But I just wanted to make a correction here, a correction to Honourable Singh. Honourable Singh, when we do the inquiry, all the issues that you have raised there, we will first adopt the terms of reference of the inquiry. After that, we will write to the Speaker and ask for the necessary resources. I think in our discussion today, we will take it upon ourselves that we put the resources that we will need as this committee, so that when we write the letter to the Speaker, we include the resources that has been taken as a resolution in this committee, include all those resources. We have been given a go-ahead. With the ad hoc committee issue, I don't think the committee has got a problem in the establishment of the ad hoc committee, because we, as the committee, we are not going to stop our work. We will carry on with our work. If the ad hoc committee has been agreed upon by the Speaker and the necessary bodies of Parliament, they will take their road, and we will carry on with ours as the inquiry, as the Committee of Public Enterprises, because the issue of having an inquiry was raised in the committee. As much as it was your ad hoc request was before the inquiry, but according to the information that we got, is that the ad hoc committee was rejected, and then the inquiry was accepted that it must carry on with the committee must carry on with the inquiry. I am not sure where are we discussing now. Honourable Monde, with your order.
No, I think, Chair, we stand the risk of discussing irrelevant things. For instance, Member Singh, I didn't hear him speaking about what to call leaks. He was speaking about what you are correcting now, speaking about the resources of the, what to call, of the committee. And in my view, you correctly said, let's deal with the terms of reference and discuss at the end the process of gathering resources. And I think in the process of setting orders being called, other issues found their way through the window. But I'm saying maybe we should stay, let's try and be focused so that we don't discuss many things.
Honourable Singh,
I was on the floor and I would like to respond to the points of orders. I think I'm being completely misunderstood by honourable members, completely misunderstood. All I gave was background to this matter as regards the request for the ad hoc committee, one. Secondly, I said I fully support this inquiry. But before we continue with the inquiry and the terms of reference, we need to be assured that we can do our work effectively and efficiently. Now, one understands, and it's public knowledge, that there's been correspondence exchanged between the chairperson of committees and chairs of certain committees regarding resources.
Order.
But if we are prepared to deal with that, as we do the terms of reference, fine.
Honorable Norman, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think you have ruled on what Mr. Singh was saying. And what we are here for is for the inquiry to adopt our terms of references. Now, the terms of references will tell us what we need. And on all the issues that we need, we are going to write to the Speaker and ask the Speaker that since you have agreed that we have this inquiry, this is what we need. And I don't think Parliament would give us permission to go ahead with the inquiry, and at the end of the day, we are going to suffer with resources. Because I think everything else, once we have adopted, we can, as a committee, write that letter to the Speaker, or whoever we are supposed to write to, and ask for everything that we need that will assist us in this inquiry. So on that, Chair, I propose that we move into discussing the terms of reference.
Thank you. I think we all agree on this issue that we go to the terms of reference. Just before we go to the third part of the agenda, I just want to bring to your attention, honourable members, that we have a directive from the House of the Chairperson of Committees, Honourable Cedric, on the 19th of June 2017, the House Chairperson of Committees of Oversight and ICT in the National Assembly issued a directive to affected committees to urgently probe accusation of state capture linked to alleged emails involving a number of ministers and report back to the National Assembly. This directive must be taken into consideration in determining the scope. That's what I received yesterday. Then this, I would want us to put it as part of our program for next term. But today, can we please deal with the issue that is at hand? Because this state capture of this state capture linked emails, we will still have to get the emails and read the emails, and then as a committee, as per our program, we will put it in our program, definitely. As per our program, we will discuss then how do we take the issue forward. If we have to take it as part of the inquiry, we will see if we can include it as part of the inquiry. But we will definitely adhere to the directive that comes from the Chair of Chairs. Can we then go to item number 3 of the agenda? Honourable Mond? No. I want the secretary to read us the terms of reference, and then we will discuss them.
Thank you, Chairperson. As per the resolution of the committee on the 23rd of March of May, when we dealt with the issue of ESCOM, it was agreed that the committee would undertake an inquiry, and that was mainly informed also by the legal advice that the committee received on the particular day. And the legal advice was on the basis of Rule 167 of the General Powers of the Portfolio Committee, which stipulates, Rule 167, that the Portfolio Committee can summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents, receive petitions, representations, or submissions from interested persons or institutions, permit oral evidence or evidence, representations, submissions, and any other matter before the committee, conduct public hearings, consult any assembly or council committee or subcommittee, or any joint committee or subcommittee, determine its own working arrangements, meet at a venue determined by it, which may be a venue beyond the seat of parliament.
Or meet on any day and at any time, including a day which is not a working day, amongst others. And exercise any other powers assigned to it by the Constitution, legislation and other provisions of these rules of the resolution of the Assembly. Based on that, the legal advice that we received is that the process that the committee will be undertaking is actually covered by the general powers of the committee. So whether the committee calls an inquiry or not, but it's part of what which is of the committee to summon any person to give evidence if we feel that there's something wrong with any of the entities, departments or officials. So there's nothing untoward with the process. And then with regards to the terms of reference, they are also the support staff have prepared draft documents for the committee to assist you to be able to undertake this work. But they are mainly informed by the matters that were dealt with on the 23rd of May, which, amongst others, because the meeting was particularly meant to deal with the issues surrounding the circumstances surrounding the reappointment of Mr. Brown Malefe as the GCEO of Eskom, and also the issues of the process relating to the determination of the retirement package that was approved by the board of Eskom and recommended to the minister. So that was the concept, the subject matter of the particular day. So the terms of references were mainly around that particular issue. If you go to page 2 of the document that we've given you regarding the terms of references, which is number D, it informs you that the terms of references of such an inquiry could be to assess, amongst others, the board's ability to discharge its fiduciary duties, including looking into the financial status and sustainability of Eskom, the response by Eskom to the public protector report on state capture findings into the conduct of the former GCEO, the reappointment of the former GCEO into Eskom, the determination of the retirement package for the former GCEO of Eskom, and B, the findings and recommendations of the committee inquiry must address and set out mechanisms that can be employed to guarantee the fiscal stability, address governance and ethics challenges. We raise the issue of market-related remuneration levels in Eskom, ensure suitable job classification linked to remuneration, determination of executive appointments and remuneration. The committee inquiry must assess compliance into the following legislation: the Public Finance Management Act, the Eskom Conversion Act, the Companies Act, the Pension Funds Act of Eskom, and any appropriate acts and legislation applicable to the inquiry. The terms of references may be amended at any time with the members of the committee. And then also in terms of the procedure of this thing, before the procedures of this particular thing, the committee would first need to deal with the issues of the terms of reference. The terms of reference will deal with the scope as to how far does the committee wants to investigate. Would you only look at the issues of the Eskom reappointment of Brian Molefe or any other issues there too? The form of the inquiry should take in terms of the hearings that they would like to take. What form should they take? Whether the committee will call witnesses, and if so, which witnesses? We have also attached and potential witnesses that the committee may need to invite. The form which representation by the board or any other person should take in order to comply with the principles of natural justice. So that will be informed by what we're going to do. And then after the deliberation of these terms of references, the committee will report on its findings, but also the committee would then write to the House Chairpersons of the Office responsible for committees in terms of what resources it will require to be able to do its job, because obviously you will need a legal advisor and a beef up on the support structure that will ensure that the committee is able to do its work. Whether you are permission, Chairperson, and then What we have also prepared, there's another document we have given you, which speaks to the list of documents that we might require from the, which is not all of it, but it's just a suggestion to the committee. Then the committee will have to amend and see if there's many more. That will be determined by if the scope, if the scope is expanded or not expanded, that will inform what kind of documents would be required to be able to do the thing. Firstly, on the issue of the reappointment of Mr. Brian Molefe as the group CEO, the first and the issue of the determination of the remuneration package, Mr. Molefe's early retirement, we need the minutes of the board meeting where Mr. Molefe's early retirement was accepted and approved. The 30 million rand retirement package was recommended, was discussed and approved by the board. The reappointment of Mr. Molefe was discussed and approved. The legal advice sought by the board of ESCOM on the matter relating to the pension package, matter relating to the reappointment of Mr. Molefe, the matter relating to the findings and recommendations of the public protector, because in the meeting of the 23rd, that's when the committee was informed that the legal advice was sought that the board does not necessarily have to implement the recommendations of the public protector. The following documents relating to the ESCOM pension funds, all seven investigation reports into maladministration into ESCOM, the Denton report, the PwC report, and any other documents that the committee see fit. The issue of the list of potential witnesses, which is a separate document to what we have given members of parliament. We have listed and potential witnesses that the committee would like to, which is not exclusive. We've listed the former interim group CEO of ESCOM, Mr. Collins Machila, Mr. Tshidiso Matona, Mr. Brian Molefe, Mr. Marcela Koko, Mr. Dan Marokani, Mr. Tshulufelo Molefe, Mr. Anuj Singh, Mr. Elsie Pule, Mr. Zola Tsotsi, Dr. Ben Ngubani, Mr. Zithembe Khoza, Ms. Kwaita Mabude, Dr. Pat Naidu, Ms. Nazim Karim, Ms. Nassim Maria Kasim, Ms. Valente Klein, Mr. Verushni Naidu, Mr. Susan Daniels, and some of the institutions that we feel that probably the committee would also need to interact with, the ESCOM Pension and Provident Fund Board of Trustees, National Treasury, the Office of the Public Protector, the Office of the Auditor General of South Africa. This does not exclude the Minister and the Deputy Minister of the Department of Public Enterprises.
Thank you very much. Mr. El Sipule, you see his name is El Sipule, whoever is a Mr. or a Miss, but he is in Transnet. I am not sure about the name because he is not, or she, is it a she or a Miss? It's a mistake. CFO of ESCOM, do you want to say something?
Madam Chair, Ms. Elsie Pule is an employee of ESCOM. Yes, yes. Yes, she's a group executive human resources.
Thank you very much. Okay. Those are the terms of reference and the list of potential witnesses and the list of documents that we think will be essential for us to use in this inquiry. But members, can I raise something? Members, we are in this together, not as political parties, but as members of Public Enterprises Committee, which of South Africa, which want to correct everything that has been wronged or wrongdoings within Eskom. We are doing this thing together as a team, not as Zukiswa Ranto or Montle Ngungubele, Natasha Muzon. No, we are not doing it as I'm trying to warn honorable members that we are in this together. Therefore, everything that we are looking at, we will have to have the same vision, the same mission, and have at the end we must not be found wanting as members of parliament on the issue. Honorable members, your hand.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the presentation by the Secretary of the Inquiry, potential witnesses, documents.
Honorable Teddy, can you speak to your mic, please, because I can't hear you. And we are going to focus on terms of reference.
Yeah, I'm on that one. I was saying, Chair, let me welcome the presentation by the Secretary. I think in your opening remarks, you have said a mouthful in terms of how we need to handle this particular aspect. The issue at hand, of course, is an issue that concerns all of us, hence we have decided taken a conscious decision on the day that the Secretary spoke about to have an inquiry into the activities of the company. But over and above that, Chair, having said that, we're doing this thing collectively in the best interest of our people, the issue that I thought we need to take care of very seriously is how we relate to the media in the course of us doing this particular responsibility. Because if we are not careful, we are likely to cause problems in the long run and complicate the whole process. So it will be important that we state right from the beginning that we rely on your office as the acting chairperson of the committee to interact as and when it's necessary with the media in terms of the developments, where are we going, and whatever is going to be happening in the committee. And as well, doing this thing with the necessary sensitivity it deserves. Otherwise, we'll complicate this whole thing. I think in the long run, all of us, we must then be proud of whatever we're going to be, the product that we're going to be arriving at. But I'm confident that we will obviously work together and ensure that we deal with this particular issue, which is of national interest, of course, so that at the end of the day, all of us are seen to be really representing our people. Of course, the documents, as the Secretary has indicated, they might not be the only documents. As and when there are other documents, we will obviously have to consider that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think yourself and Honorable Sidi have taken some words out of my mouth. I think it's important that we don't think it's a waste of time to emphasize the cooperative crown rules. Submission, matters of corporate governance, matters of state reputation, those matters, partisanship to the best of our ability, needs to be restrained, not silenced. Not silenced. I'm saying this because I have come across news, ourselves as different political parties, trying to punt or advertise what key role are we playing in this process? I guess probably it's the right of any party to say that. But all what I want to say in dealing with the Crown Rules for cooperative purposes, going forward, let's try to be as conventional in dealing with issues of reputation as possible, especially if they focus to corporate governance in a manner that where multi-party approach is the defining principle with honesty and hiding nothing. But let's avoid things that can undermine cooperation. That's a very, very, very important thing. Because once we allow power games, political power games, to play into this space, the purpose at hand is actually going to be vulnerable. And I think we are all going to agree on that. Fortunately, when I look around, it's a lot of mature politicians. But if I go straight to the document, where I'm sitting, Chair, it appears to me that the background to the inquiry has been articulated, that a particular meeting took place, and as a result of that meeting, an inquiry unanimously by all parties was agreed. Having looked at the series of responses to the questions of the committee, at the instance of not being satisfied by those responses, the committee felt that there should be an inquiry. Now, we're sitting here with the terms of reference proposed by officials. Where I'm sitting, they seem to be dealing with what I consider minimum essential issues that would guide what we interrogate, and further, what would be ideal objectives of that process, which is articulated in 1B. And also the key legal references that must guide us as we do this probing and any other relevant law. And what I like is number 3 that says terms of reference may be amended at any time with the committee members if they so wish. Because what is key is the purpose of the inquiry must be realized. So any proposal that seeks to amend the terms of reference which pass the test of relevance to the purpose should be taken into account. Based on that, Chair, I want to say on behalf of the ANC, the minimum that is proposed here seeks to constitute a platform that can assist us to go forward. I hope at a relevant time we'll deal with what Honorable Singh spoke about, which is not an irrelevant issue, it's a material issue. But I agree with the member of the ANC that let's deal with it at the relevant time. Otherwise, I want to say on behalf of the ANC, we are generally happy with the minimum that is before us. We think it has the capacity to take us to a significant degree. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and again, thank you for allowing me to stand, you know, the circumstances. Firstly, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate you as the acting chairperson, as well as this committee. I think we've proved beyond reasonable doubt that we are a committee that we've gone past partisan politics, and we are a committee that is looking out for the best interests of South Africans. We are a committee that is truly executing our constitutional mandate of oversight, and I think it shouldn't be underplayed that we are the first committee in Parliament to tackle this absolute cancer that is state capture. And the fact that we have come together as political parties from all spectrums and agreed, and the fact that the way we dealt with Eskom in the first time Eskom came to speak to us proves that we are all after the same thing, and that's the truth, and it's the best interests of South Africans. So I have full confidence in this committee that as we go along with this inquiry, we will continue to act within the best interests of South Africans, because that's what we're here to do. Chair, I'm very grateful. I was asked to provide some of my inputs into what documents and who we should call as witnesses, and I'm very glad and I'm grateful that the committee has taken aboard our requirements and our requests. Chair, However, I do think that we need to, perhaps at this stage, because what's going to happen is today we set the scene. We set the scope and we set what's going to happen. And then when we come back in August, it's no play time. We go straight into a full inquiry. We start on the 1st of August. We sit from morning. We sit till evening. And, Chair, I think we must take a leaf out of the book of the SABC committee. Although they were an ad hoc and not a portfolio, they were not scared to sit until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think we must realize that we are in for 1 month of solid investigation. So we must be well prepared for that. But in our preparation, Chair, if you'll allow me, on the list of documents for the ESCOM inquiry, I think perhaps one of the things that we should look at is when we look at the minutes of board meetings, Chair, with your permission, I'd like to suggest that we add the meeting, the board meeting minutes of the optimum discussions relevant to the Kusile and Medupi power stations, and that were also linked to talks of load shedding. I think that's one of the sets of minutes that we must ask for in preparation, because from my understanding, those minutes are extensive, so it's going to take a long time for those minutes to be put into writing. Also, Chair, the board minutes pertaining to the... no problem. It's the board minutes with regards to any optimum discussions, optimum minds, relevant to the Kusile and Medupi power station. Chair, I'm quite happy to send this to committee members so they have it in writing as well, because I realize that it's a mouthful. Chair, also the board minutes pertaining to the approval of contracts for Impulse International. And Chairperson, the minutes of the meeting revolving around the allegations of Machele Koko's nepotism scandal, because those minutes are also extensive, so they're going to take a while, to go from, because they listen to it and then they put it in writing for us. Chair, then in terms of documents that we require, under 9 and 10, we have the original Denton report and we have the PwC report. Chair, I think we must be slightly more specific. There is what we now know as the unredacted Denton report. But even before that, there was the first and original Denton report that was brought before the committee, which Dr. Ben and Gobani requested names be removed from and then given back to the board for adoption. So we need, where we say the original Denton report, what we must actually ask for is the original unsanitized Denton report, because we need the report that Dr. Ngobani sent back to Denton when he asked for the names to be removed. Because what's key in that document is the names. Because it's no use to us if it's just a broad spectrum report. We need the names that were in the original report. And Chair, the same with the PwC report, Chair. Board members have let us know that a sanitized version of the PwC report was made available to the board, so we need the original unsanitized version of that report. Chair, then the list of witnesses, I agree with entirely. I think we're exactly going in the right direction. Chair, however, given the spectrum of the terms of reference, under the terms of reference, which is D, just so that you can follow with me, point 1A, Roman numeral 2, it says the response by ESCOM to the public protector report state of capture. Because we're doing that, Chair, I think as the list of potential witnesses, we have to add Mr. Duduzani Zuma to come in and be a witness to the case, as well as Mr. Atul Gupta and Mr. AJ Gupta, because those are two people that feature very heavily in the state of capture reports, especially around the ESCOM saga. Chair, and then under institutions, fully agree that the ESCOM Pension Board, et cetera, but I also think that the board members of the Optimum Coal Mine should be called in as potential witnesses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mazone. But I want to raise an issue, before you move, I did not want to disturb Honourable Mazone. But I think some of the, some of her requirements, as we go broader into I don't know whether it's into another inquiry, but from the document that I'm having, the reason we call this inquiry was on the processes followed by ESCOM into the reappointment of Mr. Molefe, and the issues on the determination of the retirement package that we have. Now, some of the things she's mentioning is the optimum mine, the understate capture. Now, to my understanding and thinking, if I'm wrong, Chen, you will correct me. You have just said we have a letter from the chair of church saying we must investigate the state capture as per all committees. Now, I'm suggesting some of the things Honorable Natasha has just mentioned. We must move them into that investigation of the state capture. And on this one, on the inquiry of the reappointments and the retirement package, we must follow what the secretary has suggested. And the terms of references that are put here, when I look at them, I think they're not bad. They are okay. So what I am proposing that we do is we stick to what as the committee agreed on the 23rd of May, I think we're in Town House Hotel, when we said we wanted an inquiry on the matter of ESCOM and Mr. Molefe and his packages. And everything else with optimum minds and what not and what we can put in the state capture inquiry. So we must not confuse these two inquiries. And when we leave here, we must know that we have adopted maybe the terms of reference for ESCOM, reappointment, retirement. And the state capture, as I think I heard you correctly, you said we will deal with that one. And maybe when the secretary there is, just to make sure that you separate the two issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nubanda. I was going to suggest the same thing that you are suggesting, that three documents that Honorable Natasha has spoke about, we will put them on the state capture. In fact, that's what she said. She said we must put them in the state capture report or links of the email, so that when we get to investigate or to inquire on the state capture report, we use all those documents that she has raised as part of the directive that we are given by the chairperson of the chair of chairs. But today and now, we will focus on the issue of the reappointment of Brian Molefe, we will focus on the terms of reference that we are doing the inquiry on. Because that one, the directive that comes from the chairperson will be dealt with in the program, as per the program of the committee that we have. We have put it in the program of the committee. We will deal with it in the program of the committee. If you look at the program of the committee, we have extended the program as to Tuesday and Wednesday. It means we will divide our attention on the two issues that are at hand. Thank you, Honorable Gungubel.
No, just to tighten up, we mustn't send a message that we are not going to use the state capture report as put together by Matonze. To the extent that it affects the appointment of Prime Minister, it will be used for the purpose of this inquiry. But when you deal with the general issue, it becomes a different word to call. I thought it is important to tighten that.
Sedi and Honorable Singh.
Chairperson, I was on the first list of people that was going to speak until Honorable Nopanda came in. Thank you, Chair. No, you mentioned my name in the original list. I think the Secretary is nodding his head as well. But then Honorable Nopanda, I think, came in to respond to Honorable Mazzoni's point. But Chair, I think the documents that have been prepared by the legal team and the researchers is a very good point of departure, for this committee. But I think as we move, what Honorable Nopanda said is important. But we must look at what Honorable Gungubela says. Because as far as I am concerned, the resolution of the 23rd of May of this committee has been overtaken by events to some extent. Because the inquiry now is going to be all-encompassing and broad. It's not only going to be about Mr. Brian Molefe and how he was appointed, because that's almost a moot point now, because he's not there anymore, save that we have to look into it so that other state-owned enterprises don't make the same kind of mistake. I think the saving grace in the terms of reference is the sunset clause, 3, where the terms of reference may be amended at any time with committee members. I think that sunset clause is very, very important, because as we go along, and I think all of us have sat on other committees of inquiry, into the early hours of the morning, late at night, and we know that you have to change course midstream. But it's important that as we start, we include as much as possible that would help us in this inquiry. So I've got no problem with that. Then now I see Honorable Mazzoni move from the comments on the terms of reference to the list of potential witnesses and the list of documents. Now, here, Chairperson, I just feel that on the list of documents for the Eskom inquiry, and let me just say, I think the SABC Ad Hoc Committee really set a benchmark for Parliament and the way committees should operate. There was multi-party cooperation. Everybody was, added them on the resolutions and recommendations, so much so that even Parliament supported it. So I think that's the kind of spirit that should prevail amongst us here. And there should be no smokescreen, anywhere along the line, or any intention of that to happen. But on the list of documents, I feel we've been talking a long time in this committee about contracts, which Honorable Mazzoni referred to. And we need to get a copy of all contracts, particularly the coal contracts, that were entered into by various parties with Eskom, so that we can study the contracts and we can see exactly what may or may not have happened. Evidence has been presented to this committee before, and versions of these contracts, particularly, the Optimum Tegeta issue. So I think we need to look into it. We have a responsibility to look into that. Then also as documents, following on Honorable Frolic's letter, the emails that have been circulating recently, those emails which relate directly to any of the state-owned enterprise, but in particular to Eskom. I think at some stage we need to get those list of emails so we can look into those emails, the veracity of the emails, interview people, and then find out exactly what happened in terms of those allegations. Insofar as institutions, I heard the Secretary just off the cuff saying, yes, Minister and Deputy Minister, but it's not included specifically here in the list of people that should be invited. And I think we have to put it down here as the minister has to be invited to this committee to give her version of events. Then NERSA, if we're looking at financial sustainability, which is one of the terms of reference that we are looking at, financial status and sustainability of Eskom, then NERSA is a very important player, because they are the ones that actually say to Eskom, you can charge 50 cents a kilowatt or 1.50 a kilowatt per hour. So NERSA is going to be important as far as I'm concerned. also the office of the public protector, not necessarily the public protector, but the public protector itself, to speak, office of the public protector, that's fine. I also believe it might be important, Chairperson, for us to advertise publicly the fact that this committee is involved in this inquiry. These are the terms of reference, and if there's anybody who wants to come to a committee, like any other committee, to give any evidence of any sort, then we must provide them an opportunity to do so. You know, you hear a lot of quote-unquote whistleblowers, and we may have people in that category would want to come to this committee and give us information that will help us to come up with proper conclusions at the end of the day. So for now, I think, you know, this is a good point of departure, but I'm still concerned, and we will raise that later again, about the resources, financial and human resources, that are going to be available to this committee for us to do our work effectively and efficiently. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Singh. Honourable Sedi. Honourable, after you, will be Honourable Kungubel.
I think the Honourable Members are right, Chair. But, of course, there are certain developments that have happened in the company. Now that we are starting with the inquiry, of course, developments have happened. But my take is that we are adopting an approach which says we want to deal with this particular issue in such a way that whatever happened in the company does not recur. I think that's the approach that we're taking. There are quite a number of other suggestions that have been made with regard to other documents that we might require, which is fine. But if we want to adopt an approach which says we want to exhaust the list now, my take is that we are likely to complicate this matter. Because I was listening attentively as the Secretary was presenting the document. He kept on saying any other relevant document, which to me it summarizes. Because if you want to try and exhaust the list now, we are likely to find yourself in a situation where a person will then say, but then you did not talk about this document in the first instance. So my take is that we must be satisfied by the input by the Secretary which says any other relevant document over and above the document he has presented. So as I've indicated, because matters of this nature have got technicalities in the long run. The same applies to some of the witnesses that we want to suggest now. A person might then say tomorrow, but then my name was never on the list. Why call me? So if we are now adopting a document with the potential witnesses and say any other relevant witness, to me it suffices. So that we must not be found wanting in such a way that whoever will call in the process of the inquiry will then say, but then you never indicated right from the beginning that you will need me. The last point here is with regard to the document as presented, paragraph 2 of the inquiry. Honorable Novanda says some of the issues that have been raised earlier, which I agree with, might not necessarily be relevant for this particular course that we're embarking on for now, which I agree with. And I will appreciate a situation in which if there are other issues that we think will be relevant for the committee to attend to in the course of the inquiry, those issues be directed to your office so that we are then able to check the relevantness of the particular aspect before we proceed with the inquiry. So all I'm saying is that if you leave it vague as it is, you are therefore opening it up in such a way that in the course of the inquiry, any other issue might just crop out which might, in a way, take you out of the way in terms of what is it that you want to achieve. So I'll appreciate a situation where in which we adopt the terms of reference. If it comes to a push, we remove that paragraph completely so that if there are other issues that we think will be relevant for the inquiry, we'll direct them to your office, and with your guidance, of course, we'll then be able to take it from there and see if it will assist us to take the process forward. I'm raising this thing because I don't want a situation where in the course of the inquiry, any other issue will just crop out, which will divert the attention of the committee in terms of the work that is before the committee. Thank you, Chair.
I think there are issues that we cannot exhaust in this meeting. The astuteness of the leadership of the chair and the team is going to assist a lot. But the point I want to, I know it can come across as being redundant. I think it should come clear across that Prime Relief became a symptom of a problem. In trying to find out about him, it appeared that there are conditions that we must understand that led to the possibility of him. There were those conditions, whether he is there or not, they need to be investigated. And I think there's general agreement on that. So the biggest thing that I understand, I think we're a bit fortunate that we're going to start around August. Because the biggest challenge is, if we go to the resources as articulated by Honorable Singh, is the logistics of the entire process. It means the entire July will be dedicated to the thorough preparation of the total logistics of the process. Whether it comes to cost, as finance, type of skills required, and what is going to happen when. Remember, on witnesses, whoever is going to be a technical leader of this process who is not a member of the committee, that person must be able to engage with these witnesses so that the relevance of others coming or not coming gets finds clarification. They must be interviewed, all of them, those who. So that we only deal with people who are going to take us forward. So as you can suggest, Honorable Singh, only to find that you saw him in a party where he was of no material relevance in that party. Maybe he was accompanying whoever he was accompanying. So what I'm saying is that the key chair, which is going to be critical, is how technically the process is led from now on until August. Logistic arrangements. Dates, times, what happens. So when you come back, we must come and be faced with a complete program that where witnesses are informed. Everyone knows that on that particular date I'll be required. And all those the skills we require, the resources we require, and the logistics in general. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge that we must deal with. I can tell you, inquiries of this nature are either messed or made up by that process. If logistics are out, no matter how brilliant this committee is, that brilliance will be futile. So that's going to be the biggest challenge.
Thank you very much, members. Hence I said, in our program for next term, from the 1st of August, we will include the issue of the leaks, of Gupta email leaks. That will include everything that we spoke about now and the documents and the people that we think they are going to be relevant for us to call. What members are saying, we are speaking on the same issue. We agree on the same issue. I was of the view when you were speaking, Honorable Singh, that you think the issue of Brian Molefe is irrelevant. But the committee agrees on his reappointment made us to think of the governance within within the entity. Therefore, we will want to know the governing of ESCOM that made them even to think of reappointment of Brian Molefe or the 30 million that they thought
it is good to be given to Brian Molefe. That's where we are going to start our inquiry, and we'll go further. And members, I want to emphasize the issue that you said, Honorable Natasha, but that we will go over time with the inquiry, and maybe we will even have to come during Fridays and Saturdays to come so that we deal with the issue in a short space of time, but effectively with it. So I just wanted to say that to you, honourable members. I think we agree on the issues and the directive that we are given by the chair of chairs. We are on the Gupta linked emails. We have a list of I can suggest them to you, the list of documents that we think that we would need on it. The process of appointment of boards of state-owned companies, the process of appointment of the director general of the department itself. How does the department appoint the director general? The report of the chief procurement officer relating to Eskom coal contracts. That will be part of our inquiry. The coal contracts at Eskom, including cost plus mine. We will look at that as entirely as part of the inquiry, because we are not going to be able to separate the two. We will always get, if we want to separate the two, we will always get overboard and get to the other mistakenly, maybe, if I can say so. But we will have to link the two, because other information that we'll need with the reappointment of Brian Molefe might get expression from some other sources that are within the group of the linked emails of the Guptas. So we will we will work together. If it is, we will get an advice if it is correct for us to call Mr. and to Duzani. We will get that according to the rules of Parliament on Rule 167 on the general powers. Rule A 167A say summon any person to appear before it to give a, okay, let me start there. For the purpose of performing its functions, a committee may, subject to the constitution, legislation and other provisions of these rules and resolution of the assembly. The committee may summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or produce documents. So we have we will stick to the rules. We will not go beyond the rules. We will not go beyond the constitution. We will stick to those two documents. Everything that has been said here, it is correct. It's what is going to happen to the committee. But we must work together. We must work together as a committee. No member of the committee must go astray. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just as a way forward then, I hope I misunderstood Honorable Tseli when he said we should adopt what is before us. I think we should adopt, but with the amendments and the suggestions that were made by members from all sides, of calling additional witnesses. Because if we can name those people now and put them in the list, all the better. It's not exhaustive, as you said. As we move forward, we'll include them. But if we say NESA, we've heard about Optimum, we heard about other people, let's list them. Honorable Gungu Bella also suggested some people. Let's list them now so we don't miss them moving forward. But I also agree with Honorable Gungu Bella that, in people wanting to come and give evidence, it'll be up to the evidence leader to actually interview those people and determine whether the evidence they want to present before the committee is going to be relevant to the work of the committee in the terms of reference. I know in the SABC we had hundreds of people that wanted to come, but it was an exercise where we selected certain people who had information that will assist you. Like in court, the prosecutor won't allow 100 witnesses, but, relevant witnesses. So I think we should adopt what we've done with the amendments that were proposed, and then look at the resources that we require, and then move forward and get the work done.
Thank you very much, Honorable Singh. I think, Honorable Singh, the number three of the terms of reference, give us all. So I think what you are saying, when we adopt the terms of reference, we adopt them with the amendments that have been made. Can we do that? Can we adopt the terms of reference? Of course, Honorable Members. Natasha proposed the adoption and with the amendment, seconded by Honorable Mare and headed by Honorable Nobanda. We have a program in front of us, or that is going to be distributed to you, Honorable Members. If you look at the program, you will see that we've got the Tuesday and Wednesday, number one. And we've got the 1st of August and the 2nd of, the 1st of August and the Wednesday, day after the 2nd. That is the program that we have for the third term. We might have we might change it every now and again and put some other days to strengthen our work. Honorable Gungubele,
can you say, Chair, this one on the sequence of events, let's adopt it as a draft, what you call as a draft report. When the team sits, they must be free to polish it and make it better.
We will communicate with you during the recess. And also, please, Honorable Members, I know some of you during the recess might go overseas say Natasha in particular. but if needs be, we will call a committee meeting before we get to the 1st of August. Yes. We will call a committee meeting so that we look at the things and the understanding that we have. Because on the 1st of August, as per the program, there will be hearing on the circumstances surrounding the decision of the reappointment of Brian Molefe. So we might call a committee meeting before that. Just prepare yourself and prepare your program. Thank you very much.
Chairperson. Yeah, just on the draft program, I see we've got Thursdays included, yeah, and I know some of those Thursdays are during constituency week, so there'll be no caucuses. But just whoever is doing the program, just tighten up on the fact that, you know, you've got Thursdays 9:30 to 1800. We could be in session because we start session around the 21st of August. So just watch those dates so we don't run out of dates. But this is a draft. So I think as we move forward, we'll know. But I think the other question is, before you close the matter, is what happens between now and then? Then meaning when we next meet. What is going to happen? Are we going to now decide on or provide suggestions on the type of people we require, the appointment of evidence leaders, forensic auditors, et cetera, or will you come back to us? Because we don't want to come here on the 27th of July and find that we don't have actual work to do. We must get down, doing work.
I think the secretary will assist in responding to what you are saying.
Thank you, Mr. Singh. I think what is important now is that now that we've got the direction that the committee has taken in terms of processing this, we'll have to firstly communicate to the House Chairperson of Committees in terms of the scope that the committee has adopted, also with regards to the number of witnesses, potential witnesses that will be required, also the number of days that you'll be required in terms of that draft program. That according to the particular claim, these are the resources that will be required And obviously certain witnesses would require funding, because Parliament, when you invite somebody to come and give, you sometimes you have to pay for the costs, traveling costs. We'll also need to speak to the issues of the researchers that will be required to look at the documents. We need to inform them of the legal advice that is required with regards to this particular program. That will be done during the course of this week, all those things. And then the chairperson of the committee, the acting chairperson of the committee, will have to, the staff of the supporting, I don't think she'll be leaving anytime soon, because the staff will have to reconvene and draft issues and make amendments according to the resolution that have been made today, and then present that to the chairperson of the committee. And we will be communicating with the committee during the course of this week and next week in terms of how far we are, and also in terms of the amended documents, in terms of the list of thing, and what we are proposing as the lead evidence witnesses that must be brought in first before others. We will try and guide also with regards to that, with the legal advisors. And then we will be communicating with members through emails if they are during, if it's during recess. I think that will assist.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, we are going to inquire on the appointment of Brian Molefe, because Brian Molefe has left. I am trying to give now the summary and the closing remarks on the issue. Brian Molefe left Eskom in 2016 after the release of the Public Protector's report on state capture. Mr. Molefe joined Parliament as a member of Parliament. And Mr. Molefe rejoined Eskom also. So there are issues that are unexplained with Eskom pension and provident fund that we do not know, that remain as a mystery to the committee. And the allegations that his employment at Eskom was a compromise in respect of the amount to be paid. Ne? Those are the remaining unanswered issues. His removal from Eskom, further he is also challenging Eskom. I'm not sure if he's challenging Eskom, but he is challenging Eskom on the reappointment and the removal of him. So we need to have this inquiry, regardless of what who do not want it. As a committee, we agreed on having this inquiry. We will therefore carry on with the inquiry. Please put your energy to this and your mind to this, so that we do not fail the nation, because this is not about us, it is about the country. Thank you very much. I think we are done with the inquiry to Eskom and the directive of the chairperson also issue. We are done with it. We will have. Can we have tea? Then we come to the consideration. Just 10 minutes tea break and come back to the consideration and adoption of draft term program and the consideration of the. It's adopted, ne? It's adopted. All right, Mandiva, let me close this meeting because we have done everything. Thank you very much. You were very sweet, members of Parliament.